now, God, may your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps in spite of me. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to make some of you very not happy with me. Some of you are going to, I'll get an email or two about how sacrilegious I am. But you know that song, Standing on the Promises, right? Does anybody like that? I don't. There's not many songs I tell Matt we cannot sing. That would be one of them. And you can blame a guy by the name of John Dean Carter from Madisonville, Texas. He's the reason why I don't like that song. And if you want to know the whole story, I'll tell you later. But Matt's timing me, so we're on a time thing. So, and I was talking to one of my, I thought about it, because I was talking to one of my friends this week who's kind of packing up his house, getting ready for Irma, lives in Florida, East Coast. And he said, Marty, the whole time I'm packing, I keep hearing that song, Standing on the Promises, da-dun, bum, bum. And I just thought, ooh, you know, what a, wow. You're not only going to face Irma, you're going to lose everything, but you're also singing that song? And he goes, yeah, and I don't know why, it's just in my head. And so when I got off the phone, I had to look up the song, hymns, the lyrics, and I figured out why, because there's this one stanza that goes like this: standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. And I thought, well, that fits perfectly for what they're going through in Florida right now with Irma, what we went through in Harvey. And I guess I really should like that song, because it's nothing but an affirmation about how faithful God is to his promises. That no matter what Harvey you're going through, no matter what Irma you're going through, no matter what cancer or struggles or pains or suffering that you're experiencing, you can stand on the 7,457 promises that God makes. Because that's how many promises God makes to us throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, 7,457. If you don't believe me, start counting. Right? 7,457 promises God makes. And what the song is affirming is every one of those promises God keeps. Now we get that not only from our own life experience, but the Apostle Paul tells the church in Corinth the exact same thing. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians, the proper way to say it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 18 through 20. 18 through 20. If you have your Bibles, open them. But as God is faithful, our message to you isn't both yes and no. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who was preached among you by us. And was it yes and no? In him, it is always yes. All of God's promises have their yes in him. That is why we say amen through him to the glory of God. Now, we are in the middle of this sermon series. That's 5 words. It started off as 6 words to change your life. Went to 5 words because of Harvey. Went to 6 words because of Harvey. The 6 words now are no, thanks, nevertheless, help or sorry, we haven't decided for next week, wow for the last week, and yes for today. So we're looking at the word yes and how yes can change your life. Well, Paul, in these three verses, gives us 2 different yeses. The first yes, he uses a Greek word, nai, N-A-I, and it's a rather nondescript way of saying yes. It's like the way we would say yes, yes. Just a simple affirmative response. And what Paul says in that is that God is saying yes to us because God is saying that I will remain faithful to my promises that I have made. That's the first yes. But then Paul does something, he does something a little clever. He slips in a second yes. Now for the second yes, he doesn't use a Greek word, he uses a derivative of a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is best translated for us to our word, Amen. Right? With me? Amen. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, unfortunately, we don't understand the word amen. In fact, we have abused the word amen. We have watered down the word amen. We have made the word amen like a cliche, and a bad cliche at that. But in the first century, to a Jewish, now Christian, amen was the most powerful word you could say. In fact, the law required rabbis to say it whenever they saw a blessing of God take place. Amen. Now, amen can be translated a number of ways. It can mean so be it, right? It can mean that's the way we want it. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, he likes to translate amen like this. Whoopee! Right? I would prefer woohoo, because it's easier to text than whoopee. So it'd be like this. To God be the glory and the power forever. Whoopee! Woohoo! Not amen. Amen in the Hebrew world was like yes on steroids. It is when you really mean it, and you only use it when you're referring to something God has done. So what Paul is saying here is this. God says yes to us, and our only response is to say, amen, yes, so be it. That's the way I want it. Whoopee, woohoo, back to God. So I thought about that this week. How do we say amen, so be it, that's the way I want it, whoopee, woohoo, back to God? And I had to think about that. And it finally hit me, Matt. We have to think about what is most important to God. And what is most important to God is us. Right? I mean, anybody want to argue with me that you and I are the most important things to God? After all, if you read creation, if you read Genesis, on the sixth day of creation, when he created us, he said, this isn't just good. He said, this is very good. Or to say it in Hebrew, this is the best of the best of the best. That's how he feels about us. So if we are to say yes back to God by saying amen, woo-hoo, whoopee, what does that mean? Well, I think it means we learn to say yes to one another. Because if you and I are the most important things to God, the only way we can respond to the yes he has to us is say yes to each other. Now, when I say we are to say yes to each other, please understand this. I am not saying that you say yes to everything someone asks you to do, unless it's your preacher or your choir director or your youth minister or your children's director. Then the word is always, no, it's whoopee. It's yes on steroids. But it's saying yes in a different way. Dallas Willard wrote in his book, and if you've never read Dallas Willard, if you've never read Renovation of the Heart, I encourage you to go get it, read it. It matches C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity for just depth of knowledge. But in his book, Dallas Willard writes this. He says, every contact with a human being should be one of goodwill and respect, with readiness to acknowledge, to make way for, or assist the other person. And when I thought of that, it hit me. That's the secret. Mike, that's how we say yes to one another, by showing goodwill and respect, by acknowledging, and by assisting. So when I thought about the goodwill and respect, I had to think about what was Dallas Willard trying to tell me. And I got this sense that maybe he was talking about what Paul talked about in the letter that he wrote to the Thessalonians, when he said this. He said, so continue encouraging each other and building each other up. See, because whether you want to admit it or not, or whether you realize it or not, every time you're in contact with another human being, every time, you either are building that person up or tearing that person down. One or the other. And you may be doing it with your words or with your actions or even with your nonverbal communication. You're either building them up or tearing them down. And what Paul says, in order to say yes to another person, is to be an encourager. Because look, let's just be honest. How many of you guys are going out for lunch today? How many are going out for lunch? Who's going out to eat? Who's going out? Jenny, where are you going? Well, decide, because we got to decide if we're going with you. What? No, no Mexican. Never mind. Not going with you. Who else is going out to eat? Really, that's the only people? Seriously, where are you going? Nah, not Cracker Barrel. Does anybody go anywhere fun? Anybody having Italian? Shrimp? Anybody? No? Huh? Fish is good. Shrimp Shack. You're buying. Okay, Shrimp Shack on Richmond. You're buying after church. Good deal. Everyone go to Shrimp Shack on Richmond. Doug's buying, right? But you're going to go eat somewhere, or you're going to go to the grocery store, or you're going to go do something. You're going to see people today who are discouraged, who are having a really bad day. And maybe the person who is waiting on you, maybe the person who is checking your groceries out, maybe they are having one of those post-Harvey days where they're having a hard time feeling good. And you have the opportunity to build them up. Maybe it's a simple smile, or maybe it is just calling them by name, or maybe it's a friendly look, or a hug, or a handshake, or a kind word. I don't know, but you're either gonna build someone up or tear someone down. Those of you who are gonna go grocery shopping, those of you who are gonna go to HEB, if that's where you go, you're gonna be in line. I guarantee you, you'll be in the express line. There's going to be someone in front of you with 24 items. You can either build them up, and when I say build them up, I'm not saying go up to them and say, excuse me, ma'am, let me teach you how to count. That's not building them up. You're either going to build them up or you're going to tear them down. You have a choice. And as people who claim to be a follower of Jesus, we are called to say yes to one another by encouraging. And then Willard says, and I love this, by acknowledging. You ever think about that? You know how easy it is not to acknowledge someone? We do it all the time. Now what Paul says is, I love this. Paul tells the church in Rome, he says to say hello to each other with a holy kiss. Now, you notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't tell the church, hey, tell everybody I said hey. He says, I want you to tell one another hello. Greet one another with the holy kiss. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to do any holy kissing. Unless, of course, you're sitting with someone that you know, or maybe someone you like to know. Holy kiss. Holy hug, holy handshake, holy fist bump. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to stand. That's your cue. Stand. Every service, Matt, when I tell them to stand, they all just stared at me like, what? Me? Me? And I want you to greet one another. If you're standing next to someone you're married, dating, mom, dad, son, daughter, whatever, give them a holy kiss. Her, it, or holy handshake, holy hug, holy fist bump, but greet one another. Take a moment and do that. Okay. So, go ahead, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. How easy was that? Right? Have a seat. This is on your time. This doesn't count on my preaching time. How easy was it to greet one another with a holy kiss? A holy hug. But here's the thing. We oftentimes refuse to make eye contact with somebody. And don't shake your head like you don't do that. You do it. You don't even lie. There are people we don't want to make eye contact with. And in doing so, we are saying no to them. Now, invariably, I do it every week. I don't mean to. But, you know, those of you who know me know that I am absolutely worthless on a Sunday morning to tell me anything you want me to remember at 12:05. You can tell me. Someone handed me a check a few weeks ago. It took a month for me to get it to our financial person. Right? But also part of my other problem, Sunday morning, I'm usually focused, not thinking about what I'm doing. I go through a lot of auto stuff, right? And so last week, we had a great service. We had over 500 people in here. It was exactly what I needed, exactly what a lot of us needed. And there was somebody that I did not acknowledge. And if you're here, I just want to apologize again. I tried to call the person, tried to email the person, never got a response. But they put it on their Connect card. And all week it bothered me. Because here was someone sitting in our congregation that needed to be acknowledged, and I missed it. Because we say yes to people when we acknowledge them. When we give them the encouragement and the goodwill and the respect to look them in the eye and acknowledge their humanness. And so often we just blow it and we say no, and it's easy to say yes. Here's my challenge. Today, if you're going to HEB or going out to eat or meet someone, just like Leah said, call them by name. I was at HEB, Jill forgot something. I had to run to HEB last night, and the girl who was checking, doing the register thing, and her name was Hope, and all I did was I had a conversation with Hope, and she went from looking stressed and miserable to laughing, even though she had to work till like midnight, and we were just having a good time. All because I said, Hope, I want to thank you for being here. That's it. Say yes. And finally, Willard says, you say yes to somebody by assisting them. I love how Paul says it. Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He writes these words. Do we have them? He says, where's the Galatian? Do we not have the Galatian text? Oh, bummer. Galatians 5:10. Serve one another with love. There's been a lot of that going on around here, hasn't there? Hasn't been hard to see. All you gotta do is look, right? You can look on TV and you saw these people serving one another during Harvey. You don't have to look that far, you can look right here in the church. We've sent teams to places and gone into people's houses we don't know. We have dealt with mold and mildew and roaches and sewage and God knows what else. Serve one another with love. And I've noticed something about people who serve. I've noticed something about people who encourage and people who acknowledge. They all seem to follow words that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And I think, and I know Matt gives me grief sometimes because I always say this is my favorite passage, right? And every passage is my favorite passage. This is the most important passage, I think, in Scripture. If you want to learn to be a better husband or a better wife, if you want to learn to be a better parent or a better kid, if you want to learn to be a better neighbor or a better friend or a better employee or a better employer. Hear what Paul says the secret is. Philippians chapter 2. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. People who I know who say yes to others rather than no, they live these words. These are words that I love. They were read at my wedding when I married Jill. I love to read them at brides' weddings and at weddings rather than 1 Corinthians because this is real. People who live this, they live a life of saying yes. And you know what? Here's the best part about it. If you know people who live yes lives, you know what you know? You know what I know. They are the best people to be around, right? They're just full of this joy. They go through the same trials, the same problems, the same issues that you and I have, but there's just something different. They walk into a room and they light up the room and they radiate. Their spirit is filled with love and with goodness, and they become life givers as opposed to those people who like to suck life out of you. You want to change your life? Start saying yes to the other person. Encourage and acknowledge and serve and assist. Think of the other person as better than yourself. Worry more about their needs than your needs. I promise you, your life will be different. And you'll become a person who has a life of giver, who when you walk into the room just lights up. Because that's what we're called to do. It's how we're called to live, by saying, amen, so be it. That's the way I want it. Whoopee, woohoo, to one another. You don't believe me, right? Last thing. How many of you read the very end of the Bible? Very end, seriously. You probably should, because one day you're going to die. You're going to be in heaven, and the guy who wrote the book of Revelation, he's going to come up to you and say, hey, how'd you like my ending? And you're going to say, and it's going to be awkward silence for eternity. Just warning you. But this is what the writer says, and it's beautiful. If you ever want to feel in a good mood, here's what I tell you to do. Read the first two chapters of Genesis. And the last line of Revelation, because like everything good happened, right? Here's what he says. He says, the one who bears witness to these things, meaning the one, Jesus, who bears witness, who is the faithful keeper of God's promises. That's what that means. The one who bears witness to these things. Next. The one who bears witness to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Now, I know soon is a kind of a word that may be hard for some of us to understand. When you're going through trials, when you're going through pain, when you're going through hurt, when your life is falling apart, soon isn't soon enough, but it's the promise that he's going to keep it. And here's the best part, because he says this, the one who bears witness to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. And then he says this, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. So be it. That's the way I want it. Whoopee! Woohoo! That's the good news. You want to live, you want to have your life changed? Start saying whoopee, woohoo to one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. Let's try it again. Either you got four choices. So be it. That's the way I want it. Whoopee woohoo. One of them. Choose one. That's the one you're going with. Good job. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now if you'll stand, and if you'll hold hands. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best, yes, the best, best, the best, the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? But wait, wait, wait. Can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that the other person was the best of the best of the best? You both have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.